This morning, Jimmy, I appreciate your prayer, and I want to say that's a bold prayer, brother. It's a bold prayer to say, I want to hear what God wants me to hear, not what I want to hear. Don't pray that prayer. Don't listen to that prayer. Don't amen that prayer unless you want one thing in your life. One thing can come from a prayer like that. One thing and one thing only. And that one thing that will come into our life if we ask God to say to us, to put on our hearts, to open up His Word, to tell us what He wants us to hear, not what we want to hear, that one thing that will come to us is change. Some kind of change. Because unless we look exactly like Jesus right now, and as Bob read during his meditation for our Lord's Supper, there's nothing about Him that draws us to Him. There's nothing about that life, that countenance, that person that makes that desirable. Read into the prophecy about Jesus whatever you want, because the life He lived, there's nothing about it that we want. And unless we look like that, unless our life looks like that, when we say, God, tell me something, it's going to change something about our lives. This morning, the sermon is, it's unlike a sermon that I've preached all year, in that I've only known I was going to preach about this since Wednesday. We had our meeting Wednesday, and Ward challenged me with this. He said, you know what, Shane, this difference-making sermon series, you know what would make a great sermon? And I said, what? And he said, about difference makers. Because I planned on starting on Jonah today. And so as we talk about difference makers, and go ahead and put that up there, and as we stay in Matthew, or we look at Matthew 13, 31 through 32, he said, this would be a great question. Difference makers have to ask the question, what difference would it make? What kind of difference would it make? So I sat there and I thought, you know what? That's a great question. And the very next slide that Hyatt's going to go to, the one question that I want to ask, what difference would it make if everyone blank like me? Now, I've talked about making a difference. I've talked about Jesus making a difference in our life and Jesus being supreme. And we talked about just the idea of making a difference. And we've walked through the chapters of Colossians in the idea with the lenses on of how does this make a difference. And we talked about Jesus being supreme. And we talked about being people of prayer. And we've talked about all of these different things. And so, boiling it down and getting to its essence. See, I thought I was done with it last week, but I realized that what difference does it make? If we talk about making a difference, we talk about Jesus being important, we talk about being a people of prayer and having things in common and da-da-da and all of the things and unity and all of this, but let's put it on a personal level. If everybody did blank like you do, how would Highland Hills be different? How would Tullahoma or Lynchburg or Manchester or Winchester or Shelbyville or whatever city we live in, how would if everybody acted like, if they blanked like you, what would it look like? And if you'll notice on the back of your order of worship in your outline, you're thinking, oh, Shane's going to give us something to fill in there. No. I'm not. That's it. That's the one point we have to make this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 31. This is a parable. And the reason that this sermon's different is that usually I know a long time ahead of time what the sermon topics are, and so usually by Monday I'm I'm practicing that sermon, then I'm fleshing it out, and then I boil the notes down, and supposed to be on Wednesday by the close of business. I have those in the bulletin, but typically I have to borrow some grace from my sister Julia or whoever it is that's going to be next and get those in on Thursday. But I know what it is, and I've been wrestling with it, but I've only had since Wednesday. And so the thing about this, and I appreciate Jimmy's prayer this morning, because what the process does in sermoning for me is it filters out a lot of things. And so this morning, what you're hearing is as unfiltered as I'm going to be in the last 8 years. So there's a little bit of a filter, but not as much filter as you normally get. So remember when I was preaching about lemonade concentrate? We talked about getting the concentrate. Well, that's a little bit of that this morning. But this is something that I just want to say this, that everything I'm going to say this morning, I struggle with in my own life. I know that being the preacher and being held up in this congregation and in this community, it's a specific expectation that people have, and I'm constantly trying to live up to those expectations. But just because I preach about it doesn't mean that I'm good at it. Now, I'm not being a hypocrite, because I want to be. And I recognize that I'm not good at it. So when you hear this morning, try not to say, well, you know what? I know Shane doesn't hear. Well, Shane doesn't. I know that too. I know that I'm not getting all this right. And if everybody was like me, we would have a problem. And I want to fix that. But this morning, as we think about what difference would it make? Honestly, what difference would it make if everybody did this like I did? In Matthew 13, 31, he's talking to him in parables. And see, the neat thing about Matthew is all about the fulfilling of prophecy. And the more that you read over and study the Gospels and Bible, you'll see these patterns. And Matthew, man, he just hammers and hammers and hammers on prophecy. That's why his genealogy starts out the way that it does. That's why he says things like, you know, out of Egypt I called my son. And he's quoting Hosea chapter 11. And he's all about prophecy. And the prophecy that he really likes, apparently, is the one where it said at this point, he started talking to him in parables, because the prophecy said he'll open up his mouth and parables will come out. That's how he'll talk to people, is in parables. And from Matthew 13 all the way to the end of the book, Jesus talks in parables. Any of his teaching, when Matthew does teaching after the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about parables. It's all about parables. It starts out with the parable of the sower. Then he goes on to the parable of the weeds. You remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about being judged? We don't live our life for other people. Remember, difference makers don't worry about other people. We worry about God. Parable of the weeds. That's what he's talking about. Kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows seed, and that seed grows, but then his enemy comes and sows weeds into that seed. And the worker says, you want us to pull up the weeds? He says, no, because you'll damage the good fruit. You'll damage the good crop. Let me worry about all that. It's that parable's all about judging. It's all about making determinations on who should stay and who should go and who's a weed and who's not. And God said, y'all just grow. I'll handle weeding it all out at the end. Difference maker's like, look, hey, it's not up to me to determine who gets to sit here and who gets to sit out there and who gets to do this and who gets, it's not up to me. Then he goes on to this one. He said, he told him, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. Man, Jesus had a thing about mustard seeds. He kept talking about these mustard seeds. And he said, it's like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. And that's an interesting thing in and of itself, because nobody planted mustard seeds. So all of a sudden people are like, what? It'd be like, Anna, you're a gardener, correct? The kingdom of heaven, and now go, just bear with me on this. Earl, you help me out too, because you're a gardener. Jim, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a milk, what is that, milkweed? The milkweed, okay. Go. Kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like the milkweed seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. What would be the first question you'd ask that guy? Why are you planting that? That just grows up everywhere, yanking that stuff up. Now, what Jesus would say to that guy? He's like, don't worry about it. I got your attention now. See, all the gardeners that heard he's planting mustard, because see, mustard back then just grew. It was like tumbleweed. It grew everywhere. It was like something that you would clear out so that you could plant stuff you wanted. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed. Now, in other places, he talks about it because it's little bitty. It's this little bitty, insignificant, kind of can't even see it, and it gets caught in your teeth. And oh, man, when you're eating something. But the usefulness of it is kind of, and so he starts out because, do I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention? And see, the thing about that is that what Jesus wanted them to hear and what he wants us to hear, and as he wants us to learn this, is that if you're going to understand the kingdom, if you're going to understand making a difference, if you're going to understand having a relationship with God, you got to understand one thing. It's going to be unlike anything that you think of right now. It's going to be unlike what you think it's going to be. It's going to not make sense to the way things are done. Jesus is saying that gardening in the kingdom isn't like gardening in the world. Because what you guys just plow out of here, what you guys just say, you know what, if we just got rid of all this, then we could do something useful. And so he says, but in the kingdom, it's not like that. Now, don't go too far with that metaphor. I'm not saying that corn and soybean and all that's not useful in the kingdom. What I'm saying is, it's different than we think it is. So he would start out by saying, when man goes to plant, he takes this mustard seed and plants it. Why would he do that? Don't worry about why he would do that. Listen to the rest. Listen to what the mustard seed becomes. Listen to what I want you to hear. He said, this seed he planted in the field, though it's the smallest of all the seeds, it grows and it's the largest of the garden plants. You know why he said it's the smallest of seeds? You think anybody then knew that it was the smallest of the seeds? Do you think they were well aware? We know it's the smallest seed, Jesus. Because when we got a bag of other seeds and we're trying to get out all the mustard seeds, we know, Jesus, it's the smallest of the seeds. Because see, they would try to get all the mustard seed before you would sow. Get all the weed seeds out, right? Get all the bad seed out. And he's like, you're worried. You're so worried about pure seed that you haven't even addressed the ground that you're throwing it upon. Parable of the sower, that's a few verses back. So Jesus says, you guys are worrying about every other thing. But then he says, look at what the kingdom does. When you just let the kingdom, remember the kingdom that he's going through in Matthew 4, and he's like just preaching the kingdom. He's preaching it and he's living it and he's healing people and he's talking about it. And all these people are following him. And, he doesn't have a marketing campaign. He doesn't have any flyers. He doesn't have any advertisement. He doesn't have anything going on other than just walking through the countryside and telling people about the kingdom and healing people and living it and explaining to them. And he looks and he turns behind him and he's got this giant crowd and he says, what do y'all do? Well, we heard about this kingdom. We want to know about you want to hear about the kingdom? Well, I tell you what, sit down, I'll tell you about the kingdom. And then the Sermon on the Mount happens. He says, look, let me explain to you what happens. When it grows, it's the largest of garden plants. Again, it's not a garden plant. It's the largest. It becomes a tree. It's not a mustard tree. It's a mustard plant. It's a bush. So that the birds of the air come and perch on its branches. Now that is true. Birds can land in there. I mean, you know, birds, you see birds flying in and out of bushes all the time. But you see, the whole point of this, the whole point of these subtle innuendo that he makes and this, you know, changing things up and making it all, you know, so, you know, he gets their attention and then he says, you see, the kingdom of heaven makes a difference. You say, what? Who? What does that make? It makes a difference to... You know who the kingdom of heaven makes a difference to in this parable? The birds. The birds. Kingdom of heaven's for the birds. Now, that analogy, figure it out this week. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, God is saying, like, look, there's all this stuff going on, all these birds flying around, and they're caught up in all of their worm finding and nest building and all of this stuff going on and predator avoidance and all of this going on. And then there's this bush. There's this unattractive, not real useful, just grows any and everywhere. It pops up like a weed and it's just the seed gets in any old where it can, and it's you sometimes when you don't even want it there, and it starts to grow, and in the middle of this hectic bird jumping around, flying around, looking for something to eat, trying to find a place to build and getting in and out of storms and all that, and all of this bird hectic kind of life, there's a place to land. That's what God's calling us to do. And that's what God's calling us to be. And for a lot of us this morning, he's calling us to change into that. He's saying, you know, because he says later on, you know, it's like kingdom of heaven's like yeast. It works through the whole, you know, woman works yeast into flour and it goes through the whole dough. I mean, that kingdom of heaven's pervasive. It just moves and works its way in there. And this little piece here, he says, I want you to make a difference. Make a difference to who? We, you know, all right, we want to be this big, mighty oak and build and no. Just be a weed. And then, but why? Oh, so the birds can land on the bird. You mean, though, no, we want, no, just the average, everyday, running around, nothing special, you know, two sparrows for a penny, kind of. Just give the birds a place to land. There's nothing special about birds. I mean, you know, see, this is what we would think. All right, if we're going to be a place for birds to land, then let's make it, we want to be an eagle's nest. All right, yeah. No, so he picks he knew that. He knew he would go for the eagles or the hawks or the, you know, the big, important, majestic American birds. No. He picks a bush that nothing but a little finch or a sparrow or something could get in. He wants us to be a safe, resting place for the common. The unimportant, marginalized, the disenfranchised, whatever. So make a difference. Make a difference to the masses. Make a difference to the common. How do we do that? The question is, what difference would it make? What difference would it make if everyone prayed like me? Yo, hit it. Yeah, stay with me. If everyone prayed like me, now you got blanks, you can write these down if you want. Remember we talked about prayer. What difference would it make? What kind of resting place? What kind of place for the common man, for the common woman, for the hurried and the, you know, what kind of church would we be if everyone prayed like I pray, like you prayed? What if everyone worshiped like you? What if everyone came to this place and worshiped like you do, and when they left, the worship affected them like it affects you, and you took and they took with them what you take with you throughout the week, and you remember the songs, and you reflect on the prayers, and the communion stayed with you, and the unity where we're all hold the bread, and we hold the bread for a reason, not just so that we can think, oh, our communion's different. No, we hold the bread so it's a symbol of unity, that we are all at the same time. No one is more important than the other. No one gets served first, and we all at the same time take the bread. What if our unity because of worship was just like it was throughout the week as it is on Sunday? What if everybody worshiped like you worship? What if everyone forgave? What if everyone forgave? You know, we say, Lord, forgive, you know, teach us how to pray. Okay, when you pray, do this, 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 and this. And he says, and lead us not in temptation. Protect us from the evil one. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. What if everybody forgave like you forgive? What would Highland Hills look like? What would our relationships look like? What if everyone had compassion like you have compassion? What if when people saw someone in need, they loved on them like you love on them? What would it look like? What would Highland Hills look like if everyone invited people into the kingdom, if everyone gave rest like you give rest? What if everyone shared what they had? What would it look like if everyone shared like you share? And not just share a kind word or a card or a thought, or what if everyone shared their personal belongings, their finances, like you share your personal belongings and your finances? It's like, oh man, I knew he was going. Guys, I struggle mightily with that one thing. I've made stupid financial decisions just like anyone else. My giving has suffered just like everyone else's. And I've been challenged to fix that, and God has laid it on my heart to do that. Guys, you're not alone when it comes to being addicted to the finances of this world. I too struggle. But are we willing to make a change? Are we willing to fix that? What would our budget look like if everyone gave like you gave? For some of us, it would look like zeros. For others, it would say, oh my goodness, we would, you know how many people we could send overseas? You know how many people we could feed? It's a personal question. It takes a personal answer. What if everyone witnessed? Like you witness. What if when the chips were down for somebody in life, every one of us went to them like you go to them and said, when things like that happen, God is the only thing that gets me through that. I know times are tough, but I know you didn't expect this. I know the economy's this and that, but Jesus gives me a reason to hope. What if everybody did that the way you do? What if everyone treated other people? What if everyone pitched in? If everyone pitched in like Miss Gail pitches in, our Christmas play would not be an emergency every year. Our classes wouldn't need to be scrambled around to be taught. Our children's church would not wonder, well, I wonder who's going to do it next week. What if we all pitched in like you pitch in? If we all pitched in like some of us pitch in, then children's church would be a ghost town. Classes would never happen. The building would never be unlocked or locked. It's a personal question, guys. I have to ask it too. What if everyone listened? What if everyone just listened? Listen to each other. I had a guy call me this week. brother who's struggling mightily with some issues. And, you know, we were crying together on the phone. And I said, brother, I wish I knew what to do. You know what he told me? He said, man, just knowing I've got you to call and you'll just listen. I thought, wow. I'm here sitting thinking that I'm racking my brains. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And he's like, and he's like, I just need you to listen. I just need to know that when I call, you're going to pick up the phone. You know, the wonders of technology is sometimes the curse of technology. Does a caller ID challenge anyone else? Yeah, it does. Man, I wish I was in the bathroom right now, because then it wouldn't be a lie. Hello? You know, oh, I should have went to Mo. No. Hello? I mean, guys, we all struggle with the same thing. But sometimes we just need to understand, hey, I remember praying, God, use me mightily today. I pray that every morning. And when the phone rings and I look down, thinking, this is it, isn't it? I prayed for this. All right, here we go. Now everybody that calls me this week is going to be like, oh, I don't know what I got. No, call. Come on. Just come on, call. That's fine. I'm not talking about anybody here. But it's hard. It is. Take this, write this list down. Let this challenge you this week. I've gone too long already, and that's what happens. I'm sorry. If you want a 3-hour sermon, I'm ready right now. Man, take this, let it challenge us. Let us be different. Let us be difference makers. And let's ask the question, what would it look like? And if the outlook is bleak, then change that. And don't think, oh my goodness, Shane gave me nine things? Oh, he gave me nine things? No. Start with the first one. If everyone, then pray. Pray more. Pray every day. Pray every hour. Write it down. Put it in your iPhone and let that alarm go off and just give it a second and say, pip, pip, pip. Okay, God, thank you for today. Give me something to do. Lord, open my eyes. Open my heart. Do something. Pick one. Pick one of those and just be different. If the outlook is bleak on any of this, circle it and say, that's what God brought me to church today to hear. That's going to make a difference. That's going to make a difference. And if you got to change all those, then probably just need to start over and get baptized. If you need to confess Christ this morning, say, you know what, I do want to make that change. I'm not kidding. I mean, if you need to be baptized, like Howard said last week, man, just get dunked down. Or not last week. Was it last week? Yeah, talking about baptism in class. Man, I want to be immersed. I want to be buried. I want to be dunked and just completely consumed. If you want that to get well on your way to making a difference, to be in that unattractive weed-like bush that can offer sanctuary and rest to just whoever flies by. Charlie's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song. And that's an opportunity to come forward for prayers, for confession, for baptism, whatever your need is. Let us know as together we stand and as we sing.